May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If anybody has a burning desire to sing that next week, just let me know. And I'll put your name in the bulletin and everybody will get you. Today, for me, when I was reading the lessons, the little thread, or one of the threads that I saw was the thread of obedience. You know, the need of obedience, whether we know it or not. Now we start off with Genesis, okay, and there's just a couple of things I'd like to say about that. It starts off, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. Now, just a little bit of a tidbit of trivia, that they, like, towards the, I don't know what year it was, but I guess around 200, 300, they came up with trying to make people understand that God didn't create from something that was already there. It was totally void, and that theology is called ex nihilo, and that means God is all-powerful, God started everything, and there was no question about it. And so if you ever run into the word ex nihilo, that's what it's all about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. In other words, nothing was there. God started from scratch, all by himself. Then we have, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Every single thing that God creates is good. The creation itself works. But what we've done to the creation, what we've done, and it's not just us, it's from the beginning of time, present, and in the future, is disobedience. And that's what makes God's creation not work, the sin of disobedience. If we obey, if we follow the Lord, life works, his creation works. And we sometimes don't remember that. Now I found this, it's kind of like a little joke, a story, and I think I've read it one time before, but I'm gonna do it again, because it makes us think. God is sitting in heaven when a scientist says to him, Lord, we don't need you anymore. Science has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing, absolutely nothing. In other words, we can do now what you did in the beginning of time. And God says, oh, is that so? Well, tell me all about it. Well, the scientist says, well, we can take dirt and form it into a likeness of you. And we can breathe life into it now with all that we've learned. Thus, we are creating man. Well, now, that's interesting. Show me, God replies. So the scientist bends down to the earth and starts to mold the soil that's on the earth. But then all of a sudden God says, no. God interrupts him and he says, you have to make your own dirt. We forget that everything in creation really was made, created, and is sustained by God the Father. We can't do anything on our own without God, without the power of God, without his Holy Spirit. This story can be kind of a humbling story. It changes our attitude when we realize that we need God. Sometimes we don't even know it, but we need God no matter what. So it's an attitude check. Now in the gospel today, we learn about John the Baptist. He had a remarkable attitude. He was humble. He was totally focused on God. There was nothing else on his mind but obeying God and doing his best, focusing everybody back to God. And actually, that's what Jesus' mission and ministry was as well. But John's repentance, it was good. And it was a repentance, it was a baptism of repentance. I'm sorry. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Now, what does that mean? Well, before we repent, there's a few things that we have to know. We have to know that we sin. We have to be aware that we sin. We have to be able to actually verbalize it, to confess that we've sinned. And we have to be contrite. We have to be sad that we've sinned. And then repentance comes next. Repentance is the actual changing, the turning around and changing the way we behave from sinful to obedient, to obeying God. Now, Jesus' baptism is more. John's is needed, but Jesus' was more. That was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus' baptism himself, did he need to be baptized by John the Baptist? No. Jesus didn't need to be baptized because he's God Almighty, plus he is 100% man. But it was an example of obedience that he set for us to follow. If Jesus was baptized, then that gives us a clue that we need to be baptized as well and follow it. Now, in the collect, it's kind of all about obedience too, because it says, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant. That's where we're obedient. The next time we have a baptism, which might be soon, actually focus on the words that we're promising God, the vows that we're making to God. Not just the person or the infant that's being baptized, but all of us. We're all making another covenant with God, promising to follow his will and his way. And then there's one more bit. What happens next? If we follow God's covenant, what's our responsibility? If we're baptized, what's our responsibility? We are to talk about Jesus. We're to confess him as our Lord and our Savior. That's our responsibility. Now, in Jesus' baptism for us, when we are baptized, which we also know from Acts that this little group that had been baptized into John's baptism, which is good because it's about repentance of sin, but they hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit yet. So Paul wants them to have the full baptism of repentance, but then Jesus Christ being baptized in his name and having the Holy Spirit dwell in them as he does in us. So what happens when the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Do we stay the same? Or do we change? When we have the Holy Spirit in us, when we have met Jesus Christ, when we accept him and confess him as our Lord and Savior, we are changed and we have the Holy Spirit in us, which helps us to be interested in worshiping, interested in being devoted to God and his will and his way. And then it teaches us to have passion, not only passion of worship, but the passion of the Lord for each and every person that we meet in every single moment of the day. We are to be passionate with Jesus Christ in us, behind us, next to us. The Holy Spirit also gives us comfort, knowledge, and security. So John's baptism is good. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus' baptism of the Holy Spirit is it. That's the apex. That's the climax. That's the best. And that's all we need. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit and have it dwell in us. But it's our responsibility to use it. Now to end, in the lectionary, Psalm 29, if you want to read the second verse with me, when we have the same attitude as John the Baptist, when we're humble, when we're aware of our sins, when we're energized by the Holy Spirit, and we use God's gift of the Holy Spirit, it's then that we can really say this and do this. So let's end with saying it together. Verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Amen.